Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the Q2 FY 2021 earnings call of UFlex Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Shalini Gupta from Quantum Securities. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Lizette. On behalf of Quantum Securities, we welcome you all to the Quarter 2 FY 2021 results con call of UFlex Limited. We thank the management for giving us the opportunity to host this call. The management is represented by Mr. Rajesh Bhatia, Group CFO, and Mr. Yusuf Nasrallah, Investor Relations. I now hand over the call to Mr. Yusuf Nasrallah. Over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the second quarter FY 2021 earnings call of UFlex Limited. On the call today, as Ms. Shalini said, we have our Group CFO, Mr. Rajesh Bhatia. Our discussions may include predictions, estimates, or other information that might be considered forward-looking. While these forward-looking statements represent our current judgment on what the future holds, they are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially. You are cautioned not to place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements, which reflects our opinion only as on the date of this presentation. Please keep in mind that we are not obligating ourselves to revise the publicly released result of any revised forward-looking statements in light of the new information or future events. I would also like to emphasize that while this call is open to all invitees, it may not be broadcasted or reproduced in any form or manner. Let me highlight a few achievements in this quarter. We have delivered a very strong performance in Quarter 2 FY 2021, with the highest ever quarterly production, sales, revenue, EBITDA, and PAT. We have also commenced commercial production at our Russia packaging films plant. For more, I would now like to invite Mr. Bhatia to share some perspective with our regards to our company operations and results for the quarter under review, after which we will open our call to the questions from analysts. Over to you, sir.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. First of all, I would like to greet everybody a happy Dhanteras and wish you all the prosperity and good times. Our good times and our prosperity, the way we have demonstrated in this quarter, pray for that also. As Yusuf said that, historic quarter in terms of the highest ever numbers, everything is in green, whether it's the production, it's the sales, it is the cost structure, whether it is then the revenues, EBITDA, PAT. Everything is sort of outstanding in this quarter. We had a consolidated sales volume of 111,645 tons, which is up about 19% on a year-on-year basis and about 8.6% on a quarter-to-quarter basis. Consolidated sales value is at 2,234 crores, up 19% on a YoY and up 11.9% on a Q-on-Q basis. Our standalone sales volume at 51,099 metric ton is up 13.7% YoY and 17.3% Q-on-Q. Standalone sales value is 1,209 crores, up 17.5% YoY and 21.9% Q-on-Q. The packaging and the packaging is notable because packaging showed 23% volume growth on a YOY basis and 11.7% on a Q&Q basis. Packaging films showed India showed about 5.8% YOY and 23% Q&Q, and overseas films business showed 23.5% YOY and almost 1.4% on Q&Q basis. So these were the sales number. Production numbers also are total production was about 25.7% higher on a Q&Q on a YOY basis and about 10.9% higher on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Standalone sales were about up about 14.5% and 19.8% on a Q&Q basis. And the packaging production was up 22%. Sales were up 23% in this quarter on a YOY basis and about 14% on a Q&Q basis. Packaging was up. Packaging films was in India. Packaging films production was up 8% YOY and 26% Q&Q. And overseas films production was up 36% YOY and 4.9% on a Q&Q basis. EBITDA was 473 crores, up 70% YOY and up 12% Q&Q. And standalone EBITDA was up 58% YOY and 21.7% Q&Q. PAT was up consolidated 136% on a YOY and 12.9% Q&Q. And standalone PAT was 310% YOY increase and about 48% Q&Q. So overall, you know, highest ever total quarterly production we achieved. In packaging, we achieved the highest ever packaging films production. Overall, India, Mexico, and Poland. In packaging also, we achieved the highest ever quarterly production. Sales were also, sales volume were also ever highest, and sales value was also, you know, ever highest in a quarter. And obviously that translated into highest ever EBITDA and highest ever PAT. Asepto business has also done better, but you know, as I've been saying, that this is probably is the only business which was affected because of COVID. Happy to inform that you know, based on the present situation, we look to be fully sold out from February onwards. You know, so the existing plant capacity is going to be about 100% utilized. We're looking at about 300, anything between 300 to 325 million pack sales in on a monthly basis. You know, with that happening, I think the capacity expansion by adding another printing line is certainly becoming a certainty. So overall, a very good quarter to be. In terms of our tech, term debt, we are between now and March 31, what we expect is, you know, offshore, we will close it at about 322 million term debt, and India will be about 800 crores India's term debt this will be, and that's where the debt will peak out, which is so the total debt what we expect at the end of the year is about 750 to 800 crores for India business and about 320 odd million for the offshore business. And so we've already drawn about offshore business is currently about 314 million debt. So there is hardly anything to be, the net additions from here till 31st March is going to be very, very minuscule, about $10 million. And India, frankly, we don't have any CapEx programs other than some of the normal routine maintenance or some debottlenecking CapEx, which keeps on happening, but there is no other project expansion. The only thing what we are looking at now next year, in the next 12 to 15 months is, some CapEx to expand the, our aseptic packaging facility, which is again, will be less than 100 crores kind of CapEx. So this basically sums up our performance, for the quarter. And on our completion of our Hungary as well as our Nigerian project, I think we are on schedule. We expecting one of them to happen in this quarter and one probably in the next quarter. But by fiscal end of fiscal 2021, we would have, completed all the entire expansion plan. Happy to inform that all the expansions or the brownfields and the greenfield which were done are well within their cost, well within their timelines, and also the quality of the construction equipment, everything is frankly absolutely satisfactory, and so we have no any anxiety in terms of, the timelines or in terms of the quality parameters of these projects. Obviously, the margins, which are there, the BOPET and the BOPP industry after started to improve from 2016 onwards, and the capacity utilization had been gradually increasing in the last few years. Before 2012 to 2016, we saw that the prices were under pressure for BOPP as well as for the BOPET, from 2016 onwards, every year we've been finding that the capacity utilization at industry level is increasing, which has helped firmed up the prices, helped firmed up the margins. And when the pandemic struck, probably, we were, from an industry perspective, we were at a very high capacity utilization rates. And when there came an additional demand for the packaging because of the pandemic, I think, the prices became a bit better. The raw material costs going down did help. So it was a combination of the prices becoming higher as well as because of the demand stimulus as well as the raw material pricing to our advantage. So it helped improve the margins. But as I've been saying that, in a commodity business, to sustain these kind of margins is always difficult as the new capacity catch-up happens sooner than later. But as I've been advising for the next, at least for about 4 to 6 quarters, we've seen that, the robustness will continue. There'll be volumes growth will become normal as the world returns to normalcy post COVID, and those stockings and things like that would become normalized. So the growth volumes, what we could see earlier, for the whole industry may not be there, particularly in the matured and developed markets. But you know, given our expansion and for specific, we will definitely get to see additional volumes coming our way as we ramp up the capacity utilization of our expansion program. And it will be a substitute for imports today being done in some of these territories, like Europe today also imports a very sizable portion of the polyester films. And also there is some marginal growth volumes there also. But I think what we are trying to do and what we have been doing over the years is being closer to the customer and giving him a closer solution where his working capital involvement is far less. And that's what has helped us, and that's what has been a proven business model in our case. And that's what we're trying to achieve. So the volume growth will come now only from this new capacity expansion, because you know our existing businesses, we are more or less operating at a very, very high capacity utilization levels. So even if, let's say, the margins are in a bit of pressure as the effect of the pandemic dies down and as the demand returns to normalcy, but we are sure that you know we're going to substitute them with the higher volumes coming from our expanded capacity, which will ensure not only maintenance of our profitability and the volumes level, but you know, depending on the price level subsequently and all that, we definitely find that our profitability will only go up in the years to come. I think we should expect as a normal case that it's not a day one when the additional capacity that we are setting up are going to be at that level. I think it will be a gradual rise, and in some of the product categories where we have some value added products, so you know the testing of those, approval of those by the customers will also take time. So in about 12 to 24 months of time, we see a very high capacity utilization, you know, coming from the new installed capacities also, which will improve our profitability and, you know, sustain our margins. That's basically from my side for this, you know, that in nutshell explains, you know, our performance in this quarter. I think notable is a 22-23% rise in the packaging volumes. These are because of some of the new product categories like pouching for the soaps and sanitizers. And we are now looking to expand our pouching in a big way in the export markets also. And I think this is the packaging business was always experiencing a reasonable level of capacity utilization, but now with this 23% volume growth also on the production as well as on the sales side in the packaging business, we are now operating even in the packaging at a higher capacity utilization of say about 80% or so. So that's bit more insight into what happened in Q2. And, I'm willing to look at any of your queries or any of more explanations you want me to give. Happy to do that.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants request to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Shalu Akija from Invest Research. Please go ahead. Shalu, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Congrats for the good set of numbers. And I have two to three questions to ask. First question is, can you give me the breakup of production of films business and laminates business?
Sorry to interrupt. Shalu, your voice is breaking up.
Hello?
Ma'am, your voice is breaking up.
Yeah, I want to know the revenue production breakup of films business and laminate business.
So historically, we've not been sharing that number. I think I will hesitate to do that, but I was happy to share my growth momentum there, where I said the packaging is, we've looked at 23% growth in this quarter, but I think for this moment, we are restricting ourselves to only the total numbers and not split numbers between packaging and films and all the other stuff.
Okay. And capacity utilization overall?
I already said about 80% in the current quarter.
80%, okay. And in the upcoming quarters, how much we are expecting utilization?
So we were normally looking at a sort of close to a double-digit growth in our packaging business, about between 9 to 11% kind of a growth. Obviously, this growth is on the back of, the extra growth is on account of back of pandemic, the additional product wall, which the companies had to launch for the COVID demand, which were largely sanitizers and the soaps. For which they required pouching, and that's where we find that the volume growth is more than what normally in a normal year we would expect.
Okay, I just want to know the capacity utilization for upcoming quarters, like including that greenfield projects also, Hungary, Nigeria, and Russia also.
So Russia, Nigeria, and all that, they are not packaging. They are only packaging. They are only films, both pet films.
Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Russia, I can share with you. Russia, we had this quarter we had a capacity utilization close to about 70%.
70%.
In a Russia. See, the Russia has to be treated differently from the other projects because Russia project was relocated from UAE and it was catering to that market only. So it took us about a little over a year to dismantle and shift the whole plant to Russia because it was only catering to Russia and CIS customers. So obviously, we began with a very high level of capacity utilization because otherwise these customers we were serving from some of the traded quantity or the quantity which came out from some of the other plants also. So we kept these customers, the Russia and the CIS customers with us. And,
when we started now in Russia, obviously, you know, we are serving those customers. We are closer to them. We are serving those customers from the Russia plant.
Okay, sir. And we have like engineering segment. So how much we expect like to expand this segment? What we are doing to expand?
So we have no plans to, you know, sort of do much expansion into our engineering business as such. Our engineering business comprises of two. One is a machinery engineering, and other is, you know, we make. What do you call it, as cylinders for the packaging business. So our engineering business per se, we're not looking to, you know, make any fresh investments for it to expand capacity.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saurabh Sharma, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, first of all, sir, congratulations on the numbers that the company has delivered. It has been some time coming, but finally, you know, it's quite commendable, the numbers that the company has delivered. The question I had was regarding the cash flow management of the company, because finally now the amount of cash flow being generated is decent. I wanted to know what would be the debt repayment schedule. You did mention about the peak debt at the end of March 31 this year, but what would be the debt repayment plan like, as to how soon or by when will the debt repayment begin? And also, if you could touch on the cost of debt both in India as well as overseas.
So the cost of debt is easier to answer. In India, it's about, you know, about 10% or so, while overseas, you can say, is about close to about 4% or so.
But
we have, sorry?
I'm really sorry to interrupt you, but I also read in the annual report that most of the debt is variable rate, which means floating rate. So right now, as well as going forward, will the cost of debt substantially reduce because of both in India as well as globally the interest rates are trending down? And how soon will that happen?
See, in India, whatever is the transmission of a lower interest rate, it's happening through the banks adjusting their MCLR. But please appreciate that, you know, the MCLR changes do not happen instantly in most of the cases. As the MCLRs are already fixed for a year, you know, their timings could be different. So somebody could, something could be from March to next March. Somebody could be August to next August. So, so it happens that way. So in India, we've seen in the last 6 months the MCLR going down by almost about 75 to 85 bits, and we will get that benefit. Some of them would have already accrued, some of them will accrue when the existing MCLR duration of 1 year will expire. That's how it will be. In foreign, you know, where our debt is in euro-based, there, you know, we have Euribor is negative, but our debt is at zero. So Euribor is taken at zero, and then we pay only the margin attached to it. But in a LIBOR-based, LIBOR plus, yes, LIBOR has gone down 3 months, 6 months, LIBOR has gone down. So that benefit comes to us instantly, and we are utilizing you know, sort of that benefit.
Is there an Is there an indicative cost that we are paying in terms of the interest rate for Euribor and LIBOR?
I already answered that question. Said that 10% average blended cost in India, and about 4% in the overseas.
Right. I'm sorry, sir. All right. Thank you. right? And the cost.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ojaswi Agarwal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir, and congratulations on a very good set of numbers. Hello?
Yeah.
Hello? Yeah. Sir, I just want to know if you're capitalizing any interest cost right now.
We do capitalize only up to the time the commissioning happens.
Okay, so right now you would be capitalizing for Nigeria and Hungary.
Yeah, for Nigeria and Hungary we are capitalizing.
Okay.
But sir, for Poland and for Russia, I think the capitalization was done only till till about last fiscal, not thereafter.
Okay. So in this quarter, basically, there was no capitalizing except for Hungary and Nigeria.
Except for Hungary.
Yeah. Okay. That'll be all, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Chirag Singhal from First Water Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Congratulations on a great set of numbers. Just a couple of questions across your business segments. First, on the packaging films. So have you already started the commercial operations at Poland facility? And if yes, what was the capacity utilization of it standing today?
So I can give you this answer in the thing that in Poland, from the new facility, we produced about 6,000 tons in this quarter.
Okay.
So if we take it which is almost close to 100% capacity utilization.
Okay. All right.
No, I'm sorry, which is about 50% capacity utilization.
Right, yes, now it's 50% capacity utilization.
Yeah.
Okay, understood. So secondly, you mentioned the dates of commissioning for Hungary and Nigeria. So have you already started with the trial runs at both the locations?
No, we've not.
Okay. My third question on the packaging films. You, on the overall basis, you have mentioned in the past that the total maintenance capex is close to $15 million. So how much of it is for the overseas operations?
Overseas operations is not much actually, but unless there is some value addition like Alox and all that expansion we do in the film line, there is hardly any capex. So a normal film line would not have more than $2 to $3 million dollars per year as a capex, but if we're doing some value-added products like, metallization or Alox, I think then we will have. But in an existing business, in the existing normal line, there's hardly any.
So the majority of the capex is for the Indian operations, maintenance capex.
Majority packaging may, थोड़ा बहुत चलता रहता है अबाउट से 100 CR पर ईयर 100 टू 150 CR पर ईयर इज अ डी बॉटलनेकिंग इज बिकॉज यू नो देयर आर सो मेनी प्रोसेसेस इन दैट प्लांट दैट समथिंग और द अदर यू नो सॉर्ट ऑफ बिकम्स अ बॉटलनेक नाउ बिकॉज ऑफ द ह्यूज डिमांड इन पाउचिंग ऑल ऑफ अ सडन द पाउचिंग कैपेसिटी बिकेम अ बॉटलनेक व्हाइल देयर इज अ प्रिंटिंग कैपेसिटी टू मेक इट. But, if you don't have the pouching machines to make this, then still you can't serve the customer. So we had to import some pouching machines. India, last year, we also did
we set up a PCR plant where we are buying the used PET bottles and converting them into a raw material for our packaging films business in India, which is in great demand, at least in Europe, because, you know, everybody is so focused on the recycling now that there is a premium for these products. We also set up a plant for, where we collect, the used flexible packaging like chips packs and all that, and then, we recycle them at our Noida facility and make some granules out of it, which can be blended with the virgin granules to make any articles of plastic, chairs, benches, anything that you want to make. These can be made from such material. So these are the kind of CapEx plus, some bottleneck somewhere, holographic or, some new features being added. We were short on more because, there was a demand, so much demand for the pouches. But the pouches need a cap to close and open them. So that capacity became a bottleneck. So in India, there's about 100 to 150 crore of the normal capex, which keeps on happening on a year-to-year basis.
Okay, understood. So coming back to the capacity utilization at Poland, so when do you expect this to reach 100% capacity utilization?
We want to do it yesterday, but things take time, no? It's like a childbirth. Takes time to grow up. I think we should target in about 2 years reaching about 90% capacity utilization and all that. And what came during this quarter as well as last quarter was additional demand coming out of pandemic. But I think we should normally give it about a couple of years to for all of these plants to come to about 80 to 90% capacity utilization.
Okay. So you are saying approximately we'll be able to reach 90% by the end of fiscal 2022? Okay.
Fiscal 23, not 22.
Okay, 23. Okay. So the next set of questions is on the aseptic business. You mentioned that the current volume run rate is close to 325 million packs per month. Is that correct? Did I get it correct?
No, you didn't get it correct. I said for the coming season, which starts from February, we are quite sure that we'll be doing those numbers for the beginning February. But because I said that this is the only business which was affected by COVID, and because there's a lot of consumption of the food of the juices and other stuff which we pack on the go when people are moving, you'll just pick up a juice and then drink it. So that consumption with people staying indoors and thereafter also restricting their movement became a bit slow. So this whole industry, juice as well as other beverages, is affected. So obviously, that impacts the packaging suppliers also. Otherwise, as I said earlier, based on the order bookings, we were actually fully sold out in the last February, March also.
Right. So, given that we foresee that we'll be fully sold out by next year's Feb, when is the second line likely to be ordered?
So, second line, what we are targeting is that we should have it before the next season begins. So, let's say the next season is February, March. So we should be targeting to be completed in, say, February, March of
2022.
Okay. Okay, understood, sir. So lastly, on the packaging business, if we look at the standalone business for this quarter and the last quarter, we have reported good growth both in volumes and the margins. So is the current demand and the margins which we have reported in the standalone business sustainable going forward, the 16 to 16.5% operating margins?
I think, as I said, that next 4 to 6 quarters to me from a packaging film business looks sustainable to me. Beyond that, I think when we get closer to that, we'll talk about that.
Okay, and what is the current volume run rate of the SP division? And are we seeing an expansion in the next 2 to 3 years?
Which business?
Flexible packaging business.
So flexible packaging, as I said, based on this quarter performance, it's about 80% utilization. We can do a bit more in here. But what we may actually end up doing is that, you know, focus more on exports, focus more on high value items, and, you know, give away some of the, you know, items which are low in margins. So, it's good to have higher volumes, but, you know, we will evaluate before we undertake any expansion of the packaging business, which is not in horizon as of now at all, you know, if let's say 1,000 tons, which I do, is a lower margin business, can I leave that and substitute that with a high values, you know, pouching or other stuff business, like, you know, packaging of rice for export markets and all that, where the, you know, the value addition to me. Basically, again, either a bag or a spout business rather than packing some of the biscuits or the chocolates, which is a low value margin business. So we will explore that opportunity before we actually, you know, get to work on any capacity expansion program on our packaging business side. Okay. So I think as of now, we are in the packaging business. We are happy to do aseptic packaging expansion by adding up one printing line. That's what the guidance is.
Right. Okay. And sir, if I may, just last question on the same segment. This increase in the operating margins which we have seen in this quarter and the last quarter, is it because of the, like, are we seeing some kind of industry consolidation, or is it purely because of the higher volumes, which means a higher capacity utilization?
So, so it's a combination of obviously higher prices because of very robust demand. That's for sure. And that's why I said that, you know, as the new capacity expansions are being planned by people, because, you know, it's not only me. If you look at other competitors in the packaging film business also, they are also, you know, making those supernormal margins today. But if you look at the packaging guys, Huhtamaki results, I was seeing their quarterly EBITDA levels are still about 12%. So that means that, you know, while packaging films businesses is making a lot of margins, it's not getting translated into the margins for the packaging industry. Because there still we have a situation where, you know, there is an overcapacity and people are, you know, there's a cutthroat competition here. So when I look at, you know, a giant like Huhtamaki, you know, reporting a 12% EBITDA margins in the packaging side, and if you look at, you know, all these companies in their global domains, they do about 15 to 17%. They work on a 15 to 17% kind of an EBITDA margins. So there is a room for improvement in India as the markets get consolidated. Yes, the situation is better as compared to what we had a couple of years ago, where the margins had dipped to about between 8 to 9% levels. But still, you know, there is a room for improvement in that category of the business. And we expect that next 2 years, those margins in India also should be, if not 17%, at least between 14% kind of EBITDA margins in the packaging films industry. In the packaging, flexible packaging business.
Okay, that's quite positive, sir. Thank you, sir. I think that's about it. I'll get back to you in case of any further questions.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is on the line of Saurabh Sharma, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Saurabh, your line is in the talk mode.
Please Saurabh.
Yes, yes, hello, sir. Sir, my last question, you were just answering about the debt repayment and how are the cash flows going to be used?
So, we are not looking at any, currently, anything where we are looking to prepone our debt payment obligations. So, they will remain where they are. We currently sitting at a very reasonable liquidity, which we try to park it by lowering our utilization of our working capital, which we can do. Or even, you know, keeping some liquidity in the form of deposits, in the form of bank deposits. So we currently resorting to that, and we not made up our mind as to, you know, whether we should prepay any of our debts, whether in India or overseas. So I think we'll take some time. Surely one thing is there that, having an excess liquidity will only help us get better pricing for our raw materials and all that. So we trying to see that way that, you know, if we can make our working capital and our costs more economical by resorting to early payments on the supplier side, or working on an advanced solutions with them. So that exercise is, you know, currently being undertaken to see as to what impact, this will have if we start operating in a different working capital cycle than what we are today.
Okay. So what you're saying is working capital, I mean, reducing the working amount of working capital debt is an option, right?
So let's say today we buy something on a 90 days credit basis. So if we move to a cash basis and all that, so what is that we can, what's the price advantage we can have? So if we can build in there, obviously it improves EBITDA levels. And while the cost of the capital, then remains the same, and we are able to utilize, find a better deployment for the cash we have, because once that money actually remains with you, because with the same customer you can again move on a 60 to 90 days credit basis, even though you have moved to the cash basis currently and enjoying those cash discounts, so that flexibility then remains.
And so one last question I had was about the margins. You mentioned other players like SRF, Esther. They are, of course, going through the same extra normal margins also. But comparing their margins to ours, I noticed that our other expenses sort of increased a lot this quarter, for this particular half year, actually. So I wanted to understand whether there is a one-off exceptional reason for those other expenses increasing.
So what we have probably done is that, on a conservative basis, there, some of our customers were also beyond their normal credit terms and all that. We may have some extra provisioning for that. But other than that, there is nothing else which is there on that account as such.
So that is
our margins are some. quite comparable with the rest of the industry players and all that. So depending on as to if you see Cosmo margins, obviously BESRF and others will be better off than that, because we are in the moped category and they are in the BOPP category exclusive.
Right.
So obviously, our moped player margins would be better than that. But our blended margins of films as well as the packaging business is about close to about 17%, which is actually very good.
Right. So going back to 2011, when the other time when there was an upcycle, our margins were exactly at par with other players. So that is all I was trying to determine in terms of the extra provisioning that we have done. This would be just a one-time sort of a thing, right? I mean, going ahead, can we expect the other expenses to sort of reduce because this one-time provision?
Definitely.
Right, okay. Great, sir. Thanks a lot and all the very best for the coming times. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mohit Agarwal from India Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So my first question is, you raised an interesting point while, you started the call where you said that in the future, whenever the margins will basically kind of come down a little bit or consolidatedly made up by your increased capacity utilization in your new CapEx. Would it be fair to assume that, you are now sitting on a very robust 200 crore kind of a bottom line? So in the next 1 or 2 years, this is the level you can, can we safely assume this is the level you can maintain?
I have no doubts that we can achieve that. So by substituting the higher margins today with higher volumes, any commodity business, you don't have visibility beyond a year and a half to 2 years. So I like to keep myself restricted to that period only. And thereafter, what capacities come, how does the business shapes up and all that, I think we'll see probably closer to that time. So my guidance today is in next 4 to 6 weeks, we look pretty comfortable.
Okay. Second question, I basically wanted more on the industry side. Just basically want to understand from you that, Uflex is a very interesting, company in terms of, how you're structured. Like, your India operations is more towards packaging and a little bit of films, and now you're adding value-added aseptic and all that. And, of course, your overseas is mostly about packaging films. If we compare it to, competitors in the space, we either see pure play, packaging film companies.
There is no like-to-like comparison.
There's no like-to-like comparison. And so what I was trying to understand is that, having this very interesting mix of, different parts of the packaging value chain, and being a very, I'm sure you're the biggest player also, does it give you any industry advantage? For example, we are seeing across other industries, that businesses consolidating towards bigger players, more organized players. So can you just give us some understanding of what is the industry shaping in the recent quarters, and is it also happening in this industry, consolidation towards bigger players like Uflex?
So actually, because the capital barriers to setting up packaging industry is not much, particularly when you talk about a vanilla product like, the roll form packaging and all that. So a lot of people in India in the last, in the last decade have set up individual units, which are with a small capacity and all that. And then, they realized that there was too much of capacity, and then they were undercutting each other in terms of getting more business. They were finding it difficult to get the business from the biggies, given that their approval time and all that times are pretty long. So once you've set up your plant, you start giving them samples, you start supplying them small quantities before you get into anything meaningful. It will take at least a couple of years. So those sustainability became difficult, and then everybody, you know, sort of got into this, considering that, you know, this is only a roll form packaging business. But as the value addition comes into play, and as the you know, the technology like holographic features and all that come into play, so those players were eventually, the large ones were absorbed by you know, the multinationals like Huhtamaki, Constantia, Amcor. So there was a bit of a consolidation, but I would think that still we are 2 years away from an you know, more consolidation happening in this space. One big differential will come once, you know, the recycling as well as the biodegradable plastics become a sort of mandatory issues. Then only the large players will be able to survive, because, you know, the smaller players don't have access to those technology. Or even if they will have ultimately access to those things. You know, in the initial years, what happened is that, you know, any new biodegradable technologies and all that, I think the margins are pretty high in the initial 3-4 years, and by the time things settle down and the margins remain normal. So those players will not be able to survive when they buy all those materials at a very high cost as compared to some of the big companies who will have in-house solutions to those products and are able to offer very, you know, sort of competitive terms for that. So we're just eagerly waiting for this pandemic to end, which will bring back the focus on the sustainability in the packaging. One thing is for sure that, you know, howsoever may say that, you know, the plastic is bad, or, you know, some of the countries are putting more taxes on the use of the plastic, that's not going to do away, you know, the consumption of the plastic, because, you know, the advantages are far too many other than a few disadvantages which can be tackled very easily, because today you have solutions as to how to recycle the mixed plastic waste, which consists of various polymers, and you also have solutions for making the whole plastic packaging biodegradable, which means that, you know, you assigned an end of the life to plastics also. So if you eat away a packet of chips and throw away on the roadside, it will become biomass in 1 year time. So you put an end to those bicycles. I think that is what will again differentiate, you know, men from boys. But yes, generally speaking, as I was saying earlier also, that, you know, in the matured markets, the large, you know, brand owners do stick with the large packaging companies only, and very small business is with the small, is the medium and small packaging converters. But in India, I think still there is a lot of price consciousness, even when the brand owners come into play. And that is why, you know, even, you know, the MNC players in India are working at a much lower margins as compared to their operating margins in the other US or Europe or other developed world than they look at that.
Yeah. Great. And one last question. I actually asked you this question last time also. It probably could be a very great time for the company to propose a buyback, because, and you also said, you know, you'll probably give this idea to the management? Because, you know, you're making a very decent amount of cash flows. You're not in a hurry to prepay your debt. You are not having a very aggressive dividend policy. And so, you know, why not buy back, you know, because we have our share price, which is probably not reflecting, you know, this enormous book value of UFlex. So would you want to do it again?
I think that's
again,
a, maybe? I think rather than buy back using the company's cash, you know, other options could be use the cash to buy out the, don't use the company's cash, but use the promoter's cash to do the, you know, to delist the company. That could be another idea. So there are various options available to increase the shareholders' value and all that, but I think right now there's nothing of that sort which is under anvil. But again, a good thought from a buyback perspective.
Okay, yeah, thanks. That's it.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Singhal from First Water Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my follow-up question. Sir, on the receivable days, we have a higher receivable days than the peer set. So when can
Sorry?
We see some softening on the receivable days? We have a higher receivable
what?
Days than the peer set.
We
can
have a...
Can you hear me, sir?
Hello. Your voice was cracking
in
between.
Mr. Singhal, can you use the handset mode while speaking and not the speakerphone?
Is my voice clear now?
Much better, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, please.
Sir, on the receivable days, I'm saying that we have a higher receivable days than the peer set. So when can we see some softening in the receivable days?
So depends whom are you comparing this with. In the films business, you know, it's pretty well controlled, but in the packaging business, you know, people simply want more and more credit. So I think that's the difference between the, you know, the two businesses. So I think we're looking to grow. So receivables, number of days receivable and all that do matter, but frankly, you know, the idea is to grow the business, have a higher capacity utilization than actually, you know, shifting the entire focus on the conversion of receivables. We do that, but, you know, people want now, even, you know, companies like Encore and all that, they want higher number of days credit. We were we had a customer called Bimes with whom we had a you know credit period agreed, but when Encore took over Bimes, so Encore said even for the Bimes supplies you have to give us the same credit period. So we have to do that. So I think there are pressures. So that is why, you know, even on our side also, our payables also, we also try to, you know, push them as much as we can. But, you know, basically because our product, our raw material is basically coming from petrochemicals. So there's not much that we've been able to do. So we have to, you know, sort of keep on buying almost on a cash basis or an LC basis, and you know, while our receivable, our customer wants always more credit and all that. So I think this business. So we can't sacrifice volumes for the higher receivables number of days.
Mm-hmm.
Very difficult.
I try to understand about the front-end business, but when I look at the packaging films business and when I compare it with the PSS, we are like 25 to 30 days higher than the average receivable days for the PSS. So on that front, I was asking that, like, will we be seeing any kind of softening in the receivable days going ahead?
No, I don't think so. With the additional capacities having come on stream where we would like to sell them quickly, I think we're not looking at any quick fix solution to the, early receivables. Really, no.
Okay. Okay, sir, just one last question for this call. What is the current capacity utilization for the Asepto plant?
I can say about 65%.
65%. Okay, sir. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Yusuf Nasrullah for his closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining us today, and we look forward to staying in touch in future quarters. Have a nice day and wish you a very happy Diwali.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of UFlex Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Okay.